This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. I thank you for joining me. I thank you for downloading all of our podcasts. We love that you're enjoying listening to these. And for any of you who have any questions, comments, topics of interest, you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. There's been a lot about glyphosate in the news lately. And discussed as well in scientific circles, and I just wanted to speak to you about it. Myself, I've been looking at EcoWatch. Glyphosate, as you know, is the herbicide in Roundup, the weed killer. So for those of you using it on your lawns and your backyards to kill weeds, stop. And there's a lot of glyphosate sprayed on our crops right before harvest. It's almost being used as a desiccant. So if you ask yourself why you don't feel so great after eating wheat, and you don't have a suspected wheat allergy, or eating potatoes or corn or soy, and you're not intolerant to any of them, let me read this to you. Why is glyphosate sprayed on crops right before harvest? This is from EcoWatch. Glyphosate, the main ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup herbicide, is recognized as the world's most widely used weed killer, and it's becoming even more and more so. I'm going to have other news about that for you in a bit. What is not so well known is that farmers also use glyphosate on crops such as wheat, oats, edible beans, and other crops right before harvest, raising concerns that the herbicide could get into food products. And you know what that it does if they're being used this way? Escalating use of probable carcinogen. We know that glyphosate is a probable carcinogen. Glyphosate has come under increased scrutiny in the past year. Last year, the World Health Organization's cancer group, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, that's IARC, classified it as a probable carcinogen. The state of California has also moved to classify the herbicide as a probable carcinogen. And you know, California is one of the first states of the union to classify anything as a carcinogen. So you've got to know that something is up. It's known to be an endocrine disruptor. It kills beneficial gut bacteria, damages the DNA in human embryonic, placental, and umbilical cord cells, and is linked to birth defects and reproductive problems in laboratory animals. What is not so well known is that farmers also use glyphosate on crops, such as all the ones I mentioned, wheat, oats, edible beans, and other crops right before harvest. A recent published paper describes the escalating use of glyphosate. Hold on to your seats. Are you sitting down? The escalating use of glyphosate. 18.9 billion pounds, 18.9 billion pounds have been used globally since its introduction in 1974, making it the most widely and heavily applied weed killer in the history of chemical agriculture. Significantly, 74% of all glyphosate sprayed on crops since the mid-70s was applied in just the last 10 years as cultivation of GMO corn and soybeans expanded in the U.S. and globally. So 74% of all glyphosate that's being sprayed on the crops since the mid-70s, has only been applied in the last 10 years. Imagine that. And it's because of the prevalence of GMOs, especially of corn and soybeans, which are the top genetically modified organisms, now plants, in our country. And they're both on the top, you know, the top food allergy list, corn and soybeans. Glyphosate is used to speed up wheat harvest. Charles Benbrook, PhD, who published the paper on the mounting use of glyphosate, says the practice of spraying glyphosate on wheat prior to harvest, known as desiccating, began in Scotland in the 1980s. He quotes, farmers there often had trouble getting wheat and barley to dry evenly so they can start harvesting. Makes it easier to harvest a dry crop, right? So they came up with the idea to kill the crop with glyphosate 1 to 2 weeks before harvest to accelerate the drying down of the grain. The pre-harvest use of glyphosate allows farmers to harvest crops as much as 2 weeks earlier than they normally would, which is an advantage in northern, colder regions such as Scotland. The practice spread to wheat-growing areas of North America, such as the upper Midwestern U.S. and Canadian provinces, such as Saskatchewan and Manitoba. Desiccation is done primarily in years where conditions are wet and the crop is slow to dry down, Joel Ransom, an agronomist at North Dakota State University, said. Ransom says desiccating wheat with glyphosate has been a useful tool for farmers. It does help hasten dry down and controls grain weeds and other material that slows down the threshing practice. It's an important role in areas where it's wet. Ransom says the practice has increased in North Dakota, which is the leading wheat producing state in the U.S. over the past 15 years due to wetter weather. I didn't know that it's North Dakota that produces most of our wheat. While more common in upper Midwestern states where there is more moisture, desiccation is less likely to be done in drier wheat-growing areas of Kansas, Oklahoma, Washington, and Oregon. So, all conventional farmers in Saskatchewan desiccate wheat. According to a wheat farmer in Saskatchewan, desiccating wheat with glyphosate is commonplace in his region. I think every non-organic farmer in Saskatchewan uses glyphosate on most of their wheat acres every year. That farmer was speaking on the condition of anonymity. He has concerns about the practice. I think farmers need to realize that all of the chemicals we use are bad to some extent. Monsanto has done such an effective job marketing glyphosate as safe and biodegradable that farmers here still believe this, even though such claims are false. The vast majority of farmers in Manitoba, Canada's third largest wheat-producing province, also use glyphosate on wheat, said Gerald Wiebe, a farmer and agricultural consultant. I would estimate that 90 to 90% of wheat acres in Manitoba are sprayed pre-harvest with glyphosate. The exception would be in dry areas of the province, where moisture levels at harvest time are not an issue. Ha! Don't ask, don't tell policy. According to Tom Earhart, co-owner of Minnesota-based Albert Lee Seeds, sourcing grains not desiccated with glyphosate prior to harvest is a challenge. I've talked with millers of conventionally produced grain, and they all agree it's very difficult to source oats, wheat, flax, triticale, which have not been sprayed with glyphosate prior to harvest. It's a don't ask, don't tell policy in the industry. So even flax, where we get our flax oil, our flaxseed oil, our flaxseed that many of you are taking as a supplement to help with bowel regularity, maybe sprayed with glyphosate if it's not organic. So they have a don't ask, don't tell policy in the industry. Earhart also says that crops grown to produce seed are not usually sprayed with glyphosate prior to harvest because this can damage seed germination. So the ones being used to produce seed are treated differently. Grain Millers, which has grain processing facilities in the U.S. and Canada, announced last year that it would not buy oats from Canada that have been desiccated with glyphosate. The company's Canadian procurement manager, Terry Tyson, told Western Producer that glyphosate disrupts the natural maturing process and starch development, resulting in lower quality flakes and flour. He said the decision had nothing to do with health or safety concerns. So lower quality flakes and flour, probably having to do with texture, how they cook. So would rather not eat a loaf of bread with glyphosate in it. Still, there are obvious concerns about glyphosate getting into food products. We are told these glyphosate residues are too small to matter, but can we believe that? The Saskatchewan farmer asked. I think everyone, even farmers that use and love glyphosate, would rather not eat a loaf of bread with glyphosate in it. Weeby shares similar concerns. Consumers don't realize that when they buy wheat products like flour, cookies, and bread, they're getting glyphosate residues in those products. It's barbaric to put glyphosate in food a few days before you harvest it. You know, we have to rethink our reactions to certain grain-based foods. We are finding that more and more people are intolerant to grains. Those grains are used for making wheat, flour, bread, cookies, cakes. It may not just be the sugar that you're reacting to or any preservatives, additives that may be added in the cooking process to, you know, enhance its shelf life. It could be reacting to the glyphosate, because if there are indeed these residues of glyphosate in the foods we eat, and I imagine there certainly are, it's messing with our microbiome. I'm seeing more and more patients with IBS, with inflammatory bowel disease, and I wonder why. So, Weeby believes the use of glyphosate on wheat may be connected to the rise in celiac disease. We've seen an explosion of gluten intolerance, he said. What's really going on? Bravo to your question. That's my question too, and I'm sure it's a question for a lot of us who deal with this on a daily basis. Can you imagine, he says, the public's response if they knew that glyphosate is being sprayed on the oats in their Cheerios only weeks before it's manufactured? What about the rest of you who are eating oats, oatmeal, steel-cut oatmeal, non-organic, that's being sprayed with glyphosate before it's harvest? Now, residues of glyphosate have been found in wheat flour. Last year, Ransom reported to the U.S. Wheat Quality Control that tests on flour samples from the U.S. and Canada found that all had traces of glyphosate. However, Ransom said these were well below the maximum residue limits for glyphosate in wheat, which are 30 parts per million in the U.S. Still, Ransom said, I wouldn't be surprised if someone repeated the test and found traces also. So, in response to these mounting concerns over the escalating use of Roundup in the crop, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently said it would begin testing foods for glyphosate residues. So, along with wheat and oats, glyphosate is used to desiccate a wide range of other crops. Are you sitting down? Glyphosate is used to desiccate a wide range of other crops, including lentils, peas, non-GMO soybeans, corn, flax, rye, triticale, buckwheat, millet, canola, sugar beets, and potatoes. So all for all you lentil lovers, and even though you're getting your tofu non-GMO sourced, it still may be sprayed with glyphosate. Corn eaters, flax users, those on gluten-free diets, using the gluten-free grains buckwheat and millet, you're getting glyphosate. So if you're wondering why you still may be consumed with GI issues, that your symptoms are continuing even though you gave up gluten, and you're eating now instead buckwheat or millet, which are gluten-free grains, which would be safe to eat on a gluten-free diet, and if your symptoms are persisting, I would question how much the glyphosate is impacting your gut. Sunflowers may also be treated pre-harvest with glyphosate, according to the National Sunflower Association. Benbrook says that a large portion of edible beans grown in Washington and Idaho are desiccated with glyphosate. Wow. There are no statistics kept on the number of acres of wheat or other crops that are desiccated with glyphosate, according to Ransom. While the pre-harvest use of glyphosate may account for a small amount of overall use of the herbicide, Benbrook says this still has a huge impact. It may be 2% of agriculture use, but well over 50% of dietary exposure. That's right. Any of us eating grains or other processed foods, even processed organic foods like corn, may be a problem. Further, he said, I don't understand why Monsanto and the food industry don't voluntarily end this practice. They know it contributes to high dietary exposure of glyphosate. Weeby sees the situation in dire terms. The most tragic thing is that industry is encouraging the use of glyphosate on wheat. Farmers are using it, consumers are unaware of it, and it's having a powerful effect on the food system. Well, hey, think about it. If it makes economic sense for the farmer to be able to harvest better and 2 weeks earlier and get his product to market, if Monsanto is able to sell more and more glyphosate to farmers, of course they would benefit, right? Here's more on glyphosate, and this is from the Pulse of Natural Health newsletter, the Alliance for Natural Health. Science, the Monsanto way. That way appears to be deception, obfuscation, and cronyism. We've been telling you about a court case against Monsanto in which the plaintiffs allege that glyphosate, the active ingredient in the Roundup herbicide, causes non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Documents in the case, including email messages, are now being made public, demonstrating how far Monsanto will go to make sure glyphosate stays on the market. The indications include ghostwriting, with Monsanto allegedly drafting scientific reports that were then published under someone else's name. For example, a Monsanto employee may have written an article under the guise of an academic that appeared in Forbes in 2015 attacking the World Health Organization's determination that glyphosate is probably a carcinogen. Some of the emails even show Monsanto's own scientists expressing concern over glyphosate's safety. In a message from 2001, one Monsanto scientist wrote, and I quote, "If somebody came to me and said they wanted to test Roundup, I know how I would react, with serious concern," end quote. There are other revelations in the court documents that show Monsanto executives knew that Roundup was dangerous. Sounds like the tobacco industry, doesn't it, folks? In a 2002 email, a Monsanto executive said, "What I've been hearing from you is that this continues to be the case with these studies. Glyphosate is okay, but the formulated product and thus the surfactant does the damage." In a 2003 email, a different Monsanto executive acknowledges, "You cannot say that Roundup is not a carcinogen. We have not done the necessary testing on the formulation to make that statement." The revealed documents also showed that Monsanto has relationships with peer-reviewed journals. And this is where we have a definite lack of integrity in science. The former editor of Food and Chemical Toxicology had a contractual relationship with Monsanto and retracted a study from famed GMO researcher Professor Gilles Eric Seralini that found that Roundup and GMO corn could cause cancer and early death in rats. In addition to the relationship with the editor of the journal, the revealed documents show that Monsanto employees also worked with, quote, third-party experts, end quote, to generate a barrage of letters demanding that Seralini study be retracted. This was a classic PR tactic of the tobacco industry. Use supposedly independent experts to lend credibility to industry propaganda. The stakes for Monsanto were high. To let the Seralini paper stand would invite regulators and the public to demand long-term safety testing of Roundup and the crops genetically modified to withstand it. So, documents unsealed earlier indicated that a top EPA official promised Monsanto he would quash an effort by the Department of Health and Human Services in its own review of glyphosate. All of this, and doubtless more evidence is yet unreleased, shows that Monsanto executives likely knew what Professor Seralini demonstrated last year, that the so-called inert ingredients in Roundup were up to 1,000 times more toxic than glyphosate, the active ingredient, even though it's less toxic than the inert ingredients in Roundup. The evidence is accumulating that glyphosate itself is toxic. So too the evidence that Monsanto has been pulling out all the stops to get its desired outcome. Thank you, Alliance for Natural Health. This was from the Pulse of Natural Health at the Alliance for Natural Health, that's anh.org. I would urge you to subscribe and read anh.org to get more information. And I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.